Amen. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I stand. Thankful for each one of you here this morning. Thankful for this time together, our time of worship, now this time together around the Word. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, you know our need this morning of you. Lord, you know that we lack. Lord, that we are nothing without you. Lord, that we need our Lord and Savior every moment of every day. Lord, I pray this morning that as we open your Word, as we spend time together in it, Lord, that you would draw our hearts close to you. Lord, that you would draw us nearer, still nearer to our Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to start this morning in the book of Psalms, and this psalm in particular is hard to read only part of. I found myself going, well, I'll add that. And finally I said, no, let's just stick with the part where I'm actually focusing. The whole psalm is so good, but I want to focus in on a particular part of it this morning, the rest is so good and so part of it in a way, but yet not essential to it. And there's other passages I want to go to as well. So we're going to start this morning in Psalm chapter 46, Psalm 46, a well-known psalm and one of my favorites. And we're going to begin with verse 1, Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. He just jumps right in with both feet. The psalmist here says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. And I think this passage particularly comes to mind as I look around and I see some of these things that are going on, right? That aren't the exact specific situations that the psalmist was talking about. But he says, we're not going to fear. The psalmist here is boldly stating, because of who God is, because of who he is, not just in a general sense, but to me, he says, I will not fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. This is cataclysmic. This is catastrophic. This is earth surface changing kind of situation and happenings that he's talking about. If you are hanging out near the mountains and you start to see the mountain being moved and carried towards the sea, I think that would be quite, you know, if you're gonna say, hey, when is it okay? When is it legitimate to get a little concerned? That's a decent time, you know. I don't think anyone can argue that that's a really reasonable time to have some concerns, right? Though the waters of the sea are roaring and troubled, if you're out there as sailors for thousands of years have spent months at a time on the sea and the waters are swelling and roaring. I've seen some videos of some of those storms in the wide open sea, and I'm like, those guys had guts that I don't think I want to have. When you see some of these waves that are just ridiculously high, just amazingly powerful and strong, he says, though the mountains shake with the swelling of the waters, all these things. He's talking about cataclysms. He's talking about things happening on this globe that are literally shaking the very geography and layout of how things look, right? Of how things function, of how things how roadways and transportation, railroads, all these things. He's talking about major things that are shaking up infrastructure. And on a personal scale, on a personal note, many times in our lives, when things come our way that we're not expecting, we can feel like this is happening on a personal level, right? That the foundations are shaking, the mountains are moving, the waves are rising. I don't know how I'm going to get past this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to survive this. And the psalmist here is boldly stating the worst case scenario that he can come up with. He's saying boldly, we will not fear. We will not fear. Why? Why? How can you have that kind of confidence, David? How can you have that kind of just raw, it's not bravado because bravado is fake, right? But that kind of just raw determination and solidity in your stated confidence, your stated firmness. We're not going to fear. Even though all this stuff happens, I will not fear. Why? He says in verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And I want to hone in specifically on this phrase this morning, a present help. You know, if I'm off in some foreign country and tensions arise between my country and that country, and they decide I might be a spy and they grab me and throw me in prison, say, for instance, in Iran today, it doesn't do me much good to know that I have friends back at home who care about me, right? It doesn't do me much good to know that there's bunkers full of missiles in the U.S. It doesn't do me much good to know that there's hundreds and thousands of tanks rolling around on U.S. soil. That doesn't do me much good, right? I don't really care what we have back in the U.S. I want to know, what do we have here present? What do we have here that can actually help me right now? You know, I travel a lot for work I'll be gone sometimes for several nights at a time working around the state. And most of the time, if I'm gone for more than one or two nights, Lydia and the kids will come along. But there's times when it's just not convenient, or I'm only gone for one night. There's been times when a situation arises at home. Lydia will call me up and I feel so hand-tied, right? Like, I can say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. I wish I could be there to help you. But I can't really do much, right? Because I'm not present. I can be a help in the emotional aspect. I can be a help in saying, hey, I feel your pain. You know, I can, all of those things. But I'm not a present help in time of trouble in that moment. I'm a help that's over here. I have good intentions. I have all the care and all the love that she could want, but I'm not present at that moment. I'm not a present help in that time of trouble. And the psalmist here, and all through and on throughout Scripture, God makes a point of pointing out to us, hey, I'm not far off somewhere watching, whether concerned or unconcerned. I'm not far off somewhere saying, hey, I hope you make it. I'll keep you in mind. I'll check with you tomorrow and see how everything's going. God says, hey, I'm right here with you. And the psalmist says, God is my refuge and my strength. He's literally the one I'm hiding in and hiding behind, and the one from whom I'm drawing all of the energy, all of the strength that I need for the things that come my way in life, because he is a present help. He's a present help. He's not just way off in the clouds somewhere, right? He's not just the man who purchased my redemption and then left me to fend on my own. He rose again from the dead, and he has promised he will never leave me nor forsake me. He dwells in me. He said, if you love me, if you keep my commandments, I will come and my Father will come. We'll live with you. We'll make our abode with you. That's a whole different story, right? That's a whole different level of help. Help on the other side of the world. Help even on the other side of town. That's nice. I'm glad I know that there's somebody there I can call on, right? But present help means he's aware of what's going on at that moment, every moment. He's sheltering. He's my refuge moment to moment. I'm not just out here floating around and he says, hey, if you need me, give me a call and I'll start heading that direction. He's my refuge currently, actively. I can cling to him. I can hide in him. I can hide behind him. Another place in the Psalms, it says the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe, right? He is a refuge, but he's not just a refuge that, well, hey, you know, in the Old Testament we had something they called cities of refuge. If you accidentally killed somebody and it was accidental, it wasn't premeditated murder, you could run as fast as you could go to that city of refuge. And if you could make it there before somebody, the avenger of blood, could catch up with you and kill you, if you made it to that city, you were safe. Okay, that's great. That's a great thing when you realize, oh man, I accidentally killed my neighbor. I was fell in a tree and I got my direction wrong and it fell on his house and killed him. I have a refuge I can run to, right? That's great. Except it's 40 miles away. I hope I can get there in time. But Jesus is a present help, a present refuge. I don't have to take off running. Oh, I'm undergoing temptation. I'm facing a difficulty. Something just happened. Lord, I'm coming. I'm heading your way. Open the gates for me. No, he's present. He's right there at that moment. He's a refuge and he is strength in those things. I don't have to climb out of the pit to go find him to draw strength to deal with the situation. He's there with me. He's a very present help in trouble. So many times it's natural, it's easy for us to feel, if I don't have a friend close by who knows everything that's going on in my life at this moment, it's easy for me to feel alone, right? It's easy for me to feel abandoned. It's easy for me to feel like I'm facing all of this just out here by myself. And I want to call somebody. I want to talk. I want them to know, because I don't want to have to carry this alone. And that's great when we can have friends and people we can count on, right? But in that moment, I don't have to try to pull out my phone and find somebody to call to share it with, because I have a very present help in that trouble. I have a refuge. I have a source of strength who is with me day in, day out, moment to moment. It's a whole nother level of a refuge, right? If I've got to travel across the country to find that refuge, I might make it there. I might not. I might blow out a tire. The crisis might be past before I get there. But Jesus is a very present help in time of trouble. This word also has the connotation of being very actively involved in that time of trouble. It has the connotation of being present, not just physically, right? Because there's times when we have a friend or something that we're chatting with and we're chatting and we're talking and all of a sudden we realize, oh, I'm so sorry. I just zoned out. I don't know what you said for the past 5 minutes, right? And I'm sorry, I didn't try to. I'm sleepy or whatever it might be. And you realize they're present in body, but maybe they have some worries and concerns of their own, or maybe they're tired, or maybe all kinds of different things. This phrase carries the connotation of him also being emotionally present. He's connected. He's keyed in. He's hearing. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. He doesn't forget. He doesn't go, wait, what? Oh, you're still praying? What were you wanting? What were you saying? Sorry, I spaced out there for a second. He's a very present help in trouble. He's right there with us in those difficulties and those hardships. Jesus, when he gave us what we call the Great Commission, he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? But he didn't just send us out. What does he say in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20? He says, you know, go into all the world. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, that's not just the culmination of the time of the world, right? But that's to the extreme corners of the world. That's anywhere and everywhere. And he sends us forth, and he says, hey, you're not going out. I'm not just sending you out on your own saying, good luck. Get as many as you can. No, I'm with you always. He's a very present teacher. He's a very present commander-in-chief. He's a very present master and friend. You know, if you are sent forth onto a battlefield, you're given particular orders, right? Those orders are good for where the battle sits right at the moment when you're sent out. But if you don't get constant updates on those orders, if you don't know how to respond in the changing panorama that's happening around you, you could be trying to accomplish an objective that, hey, that's not where we're trying to get to anymore. Or, hey, watch out on your left. You got somebody coming up or whatever it might be. It makes a big difference if you're there with the guy who has the plan. If you're there shoulder to shoulder with the guy who's calling the shots, who knows the purpose that's needs to be accomplished, who knows the enemy's strengths and weaknesses, and can give you moment by moment, hey, step over this way. Whoa, there goes a missile shot. I didn't know that was coming. He knew. He's well aware. It makes all the difference in the world when I'm fighting alongside of someone who knows. It makes all the difference in the world when I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with someone who says, hey, I've got all the power in heaven and earth, and not just up there in reserve somewhere. It's with me. I have it, and I'm with you. One of my favorite names that was given for Christ is Emmanuel. God with us. Not just God who cares about us from a distance. Not just God who came down one time 2,000 years ago and made it possible for me to have a clean slate to start with. But God with us. Down in the nitty-gritty, down in the grime and the mud, down in the dirt and filth of day-to-day life. Who's with us. Who cares about what's happening in my life? Who sees the pain, the hardship? As Psalm so poetically says, he keeps my tears in a bottle. He can do that because he's right there. He's not going, oh, hold on a second, let me get my bottle. No, he's right there. He's with us. Lo, I'm with you always. He that keeps you will never sleep, never slumber. He's with you. A very present help. A very present. I find it so reassuring and so precious that God, again and again in Scripture, goes out of His way to add these qualifiers, right? He's present. That's great. No. Hold on a second. He's very present. He's not just around nearby. He's right here with me. He's very present. He's fully aware of what I'm facing. Not just in the general vicinity. Not just, oh yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know he's having a hard day today, right? No, he's very present. He knows. He cares about each thing that you and I are facing. A very present help. Hebrews chapter 13. This is another beautiful passage. Hebrews chapter 13. It begins talking about Christ. I'm just going to turn over there quick. He's giving kind of some general instructions here. He's saying Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be carried around by strange doctrines. It's good to be for the heart to be established with grace. All these things. And then he gets down here, Hebrews chapter 13, he gets down here in verse 5, and he says, let your conversation be, or that's your way of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's interesting that gives this particular beautiful promise in the middle of talking about wanting things, right? I say, be content. Don't be living your life covetous. Don't be living your life wishing for all the things that you could have that you don't have, right? He says, be content with such things as you have. And listen, what things do you have? He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. What more could I ask for? What more could I want? Yeah, there's so many things. So many times we have this huge laundry list of things that we want to do, things we want to accomplish, things we want to get, things we want to, places we want to go, and all of these different things. But the writer of Hebrews here is calling us to remember, hey, look, there's a whole plethora of things that you might wish you had or could do, but look again at what you do have. Look again at what you do have. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He has said, He has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. What's the response? In verse 6, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Boldly. Again, it makes a big difference what this promise is, right? It makes a big difference what the thing is that I actually have. He's calling me to be content. And that's like saying to a person who's just been inherited a $3 billion inheritance saying, hey, be content with that, right? Yeah, I might not have trouble being content with that. If I came from nothing and I just inherited $3 billion, yeah, I think I can manage to be content with that, right? But the trouble is how quickly we lose sight of what we do have, right? And it's not that it's not enough. It's that I forget how much I have. And Scripture calls us, hey, be content with what you have. And it's not a hard thing to be content with what you have when look what you have. He has promised, God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Sustainer of all things, has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think I can be content with that. I think I should be able to be content with that. Not just content. Content seems rather a minuscule word for such a thing, right? I should be able to be well satisfied with that. So that I can boldly say, hey, why should I fear? God's my helper. God's my helper. And what does Psalms remind us? He's a very present helper. His promises are so rich, so great. Behold, what love the Father has bestowed upon us. Be content with such things as you have. I can be content with that. I found it interesting here that the writer of Hebrews is taking this and saying this as a general promise to those who follow Christ and those who are believers in Christ, which it is, but it's not. But he says, he hath said, right? So I went and looked back at where he said this. What's the cross references for this passage? And they're all spoken to individuals, except for one. But it's spoken in such a way, and God revealing his character to us through the lives of his people in such a way that you cannot help but realize, hey, if I'm with him, this applies to me. One of the times it was to Abraham. One of the times it was, I can't remember, there was four specific times that were cross-references to this. But there's two in Deuteronomy chapter 31 when Moses is about to die. And first of all, he says it to the children of Israel in verse 6. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then we skip down two verses and he turns from the children of Israel to Joshua, who's to be his successor. And he says to him, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So this word here, it's spoken to all of the children of Israel, right? We're going into the promised land. We're our leaders about to leave us. We don't know all of what's ahead. We know there's battles. We know there's hardship. We know there's a mighty river that stands between us and them that we have to cross. We know there's going to be difficulties, right? We've already sent in the spies and 10 of them came back and said that there was no chance, right? We don't know what all we're going to face. But he says to the whole congregation, he says, hey, God is not going to abandon you. Don't be afraid. And then he turns and he says specifically, and I love that, right? Because Joshua, hey, that applies to you too. You're part of the children of Israel. No, but God has Moses specifically turn, say, hey, Joshua, by the way, you don't have to be afraid either. God is with you. He's not going to leave or forsake you. You don't have to be afraid or dismayed. God's got this. And Scripture gives these promises to us as a group, right? To all of those who name the name of Christ, all of those who are counted among his children, among his followers, among his disciples. But he gives again and again, he gives these promises individually to you and I. On a personal basis and says, hey, I'm with you. Not just with you collectively, but I'm with you specifically. A very present help in your time of trouble. I'm not just generally among my people. That would be a lot, right? but I am specifically with you. I'm specifically with you. Therefore, I shall not fear. Therefore, we can boldly say, therefore, and I love this passages where these things are given, and then we hear the response of the person to whom it was spoken, right? What does David say? Hey, we're not going to fear, even though the whole earth is removed and the mountains are carried into the sea and the waters roar and are troubled and the mountains shake and all these things. That doesn't matter what happens. Even if the world gets all shook up, I'm not going to fear because I've got him with me, a present help. And then Hebrews says we can boldly say, I'm not going to be afraid. God's with me. Why should I fear what men can do unto me? Why should I fear what's going to happen and come my way? I've got God with me, a very present help. A very present help in time of trouble. Let's pray. Father, you know our weaknesses, Lord. You know our tendencies. You know how easy and how natural it is for us to re-divert our eyes continuously back to our surroundings, back to what we can see and feel and all of those things, Lord. You know our tendencies. But Lord, you also have given us such great, precious promises from your word, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you would teach each one of us to learn to stand on those with confidence, that we may boldly say, that we may say with the psalmist, I will not fear. I will not fear no matter what comes my way, because God is my refuge and my strength. God is a very present help in trouble. He's not far off waiting to hear what's going on, but he's present. Lord, help us to learn to live in that reality day to day, to learn to live as though we believed those promises, as though they were true, for they truly are. Lord, draw us close to our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.